All right. Merry Christmas. It's a season. It's not just a day. Well, good morning again. Appreciate everybody bearing with a little bit of the craziness this morning as we're working through lots of different things. A couple of trees cried as we did this morning. They cried and they died as we printed all these lyrics. So if you wouldn't mind at the very end, probably just help to pick those up, make sure we get all those up. But reminder that we are just walking through a little bit of a couple of weeks here of just what is it that God would have for us this December, this Christmas season. There seems to be a lot of, this keeps popping, a lot of expectation and a lot of hope surrounding this month, or maybe none at all. Again, there's like Scott was sharing, there's a lot of different ways that this can hit us, a lot of ways that this we can feel through this. And in our hope, Pat and I were set just to spend some weeks to say we could focus on a lot of what will we get. And in the gospel, that's everything. We can only love, we can only live because Christ first loved us, because he gave us life. And yet part of our heart for this month is to say, assuming that's true, and that's something that we need to go back to again and again and again and again and again and again and again, what Christ did for us. We want to say, what would it look like to have a posture that says, I'm fully living in what Christ has given me, in the love he's deposited, in the grace, and the humility, to then be somebody that can give to others as well. What are the gifts of Christmas that God's given us that we can then be a blessing to steward on? And so that's the idea, the best way to spread Christmas cheer, right? And before we go too far in, it's always interesting to learn of like different Christmas traditions in other cultures. And so it's like sometimes we think like, man, this is kind of weird. Why do we do candy canes? Or why do we do this or that? What's the point with that? And other cultures have some interesting twists on Christmas season as well. So the upper left is a Yule cat, which is popular in Iceland. The idea is that if you're a good person, like the good list of Santa, right, is that you get these gifts. If you're not, you better look out for the Yule cat, because the Yule cat's going to get you. Some reports are the Yule cat are as big as, you know, a woolly mammoth or something like that. But they've got cats everywhere in Iceland for the Yule cat. In Ukraine, they decorate their trees with spider webs because this idea that instead of tinsel and instead of things like that, they thought this myth of like this beautiful tree where the spiders perfectly wove a web and it had like the dew on it and it glistened and everything looked great. And so their Christmas trees have spider webs. The lower left one there is, that's what a Christmas tree in New Zealand is. It's like, can you imagine going, I'm going to go cut down a Christmas tree. Bam. Okay. We're going to need to plant this thing in the backyard. This thing is huge. And because, what, do they have all the fir and pine trees that we're accustomed to, the evergreens? Probably not. The last one is the one that's like, if anybody be bold enough to try this some year with me, maybe I'll try it, is fried caterpillars is the exquisite Christmas dish of South Africa. At least that's what I was reading. And so it's really a delectable Christmas dish. Instead of turkey or all the things that you'd love, a Yule log or all those different things, let's try some fried caterpillars. So just kind of a lighthearted, there's a lot of things packed into this season. And culturally, we don't have Yule cats or fried caterpillars probably. But, oh, maybe one. That is a great question. We'll have to do some more research. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I hadn't even thought of that. So regardless of our cultural expectations, is what are we as the people of God looking to? And time with family, maybe? Time to have different events, gift sharing? Kind of this idea that we're going to walk as Christ gave us this example, to follow in his steps. If Jesus were here in Loveland in 2024, what would be his disposition, his attitude, his posture toward his church, towards his bride, towards those that are not yet reconciled? How could we be embodying and being the people of God? Because we are the body of Christ. As we come under his headship, He's the head, and then we move and we operate as his people. And so this idea is that we want to just be giving like Jesus. And so to start this morning, just some things to practically give you some considerations of things to, my hope again is not to lay on you a busier schedule. Lord knows that we need busier lives. We don't. My hope is to say, in the midst of all that we're doing, in the midst of all that you have going on, might you see opportunities to represent the name of Jesus and to give like he gave. That this is not a call to say, if at the end you hear, you're not doing enough, that's not my heart. And I don't think that's God's voice. I don't think that's what he was saying. My hope today is to say, here's some opportunities around us in the flow of all of what we're doing that I think Jesus could use to make his light shown and to make it in your heart more shown. A lot of these aren't just like go off and go do something really hard. This is a call for you to do maybe some personal, deeper work inside yourself and letting that him be in that home place. So first I wanted to start by just giving a chance to have Brian and Sarah or anybody that's in their clan to come up and to share a little bit. You guys gave an amazing overflow of gifts for the Dream Center and for these boxes. And one, just wanted to say thank you, give a chance for Brian to share a little bit of an update of what they're doing. The Reinholz family, you guys been in Gordon, Nebraska for 7 years, 8 years? Something close to that, seven? I first met Brian, we took the Perspectives class together in 2016, and it was amazing because as we went through the class, he was talking a lot about Pine Ridge and thinking about them as a people. I think you did your project, your paper, on them. And now his family lives there as they're reaching out to the Lakota Sioux as well as the city in Gordon, Nebraska that they're in. So more just want to give him a chance to say hello. He's a great brother, kindred spirit, and opportunity for him to give us an update.
Yeah, so test.
Is there anybody back there?
I was like, whoever's back there is like hiding or really short.
Hello. Is it coming through? Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, what do we have for boxes? It looks like a ton of stuff out there.
I didn't count, but there's a lot.
Okay, yeah. Well, first off, thank you so much for everyone that contributed to that, prayed for that, supported that. So we've been helping with that Christmas box program for probably 5 or 6 years. I feel like in the early years, we were going out and doing a lot of the handouts ourselves, because I think the mission teams that normally did that were missing those years. Now they usually have a group from Tennessee or somewhere that comes out and really does that. So a lot of times we don't do the actual distribution, but they always look forward to kind of the combined Gordon, Loveland, Christmas box. You know, usually we make a nice dent, about 100 boxes out of the maybe 2,000 or so that they get each year. So thank you for that blessing. One of the things that I've observed about I don't know that it's really Lakota culture. I think it's more poverty culture. Is that just there's not a lot of special times, special days. Like one example that God's really put on my heart is there's a young man that I've been discipling for a long time, and just to make sure to celebrate his birthday every year because it was his 18th birthday, and I asked him, what are you doing for your birthday? Oh, nothing. And I think that's really common out there. It's just people are just kind of depressed, they feel very hopeless, and so the things we take for granted for just taking time to celebrate someone's birthday, like, yeah, of course, you're going to at least do pizza or something. Oh, nothing? It's just really sad. But I know everyone here is really well acquainted. I think this church has a heart for broken people. I know Colorado has changed a lot in the last decade, and we have way more people in poverty and people that are struggling, so I don't know how all that plays out and manifests in Loveland, but that's, you know, what we're doing out there is pretty much what you guys are doing here. We just, you know, try to pray in faith for God to bring, you know, just a few broken people that are either trying to get off the reservation, trying to find a new way of life, trying to escape what is often just a very, very toxic, oppressive culture of just kind of dog eat dog and deep, deep victimhood. But you see people pop up every once in a while and they're like, I'm done. They might be done with alcohol or with drugs or just done with fighting and being toxic. And so we try to find those people and just support them as they find a journey of just making a normal, healthy life, marriage, work. I feel like every time you see a family come out of that to just living a normal life where you just love your kids and love your wife and stay together. It's like a miracle. So that's the basic gist. I think for us, we're still just praying about what the future holds. We've done different types of, we've supported different ministries out there. We've done different things out there. We're mostly in this border town now, not on the reservation a whole lot. But we always get different opportunities to interact with people and also just try to be a voice for God's heart for missions and God's heart for the nations out there in our little Nebraska town too, because that kind of thinking is not terribly common. So is that, can you think of anything specific to say or share prayer-wise? What are we doing as a family? Well, we're doing Advent right now. The main, I guess, the reaching out type of ministry that we're maintaining right now is we've got a little arcade game store in Gordon. So just mostly trying to encourage and build community among a lot of the kind of misfit teens, young men there, and build a little, it's kind of a third space, I guess, for Gordon. And then the church that we go to, they use it as overflow for a lot of stuff for their youth group, for cookouts and all that kind of stuff. So that's something that we're maintaining right now. And beyond that, just praying for having a baby. Aria. Yep. Aria. Yeah. She's 10 months. And anyway, but yeah, thank you guys so much. It's just a blessing to be here and just appreciate everyone's hearts. I know you guys just love the lost, love the broken. That's where we're at. So appreciate the support. And yeah, the boxes will be a big blessing. So thanks.
Real quick, any questions or things you guys want to hear from my folks?
I wouldn't mind actually doing anything. Or is it more like, let's just go do little, boxes? And those are good things.
Yeah.
Any of them actually, is there any relevance? There's hundreds of churches have come.
Sure. I would say the most prevailing local ministry is probably a Lakota pastor named Dave Laysbad, and he's run a church there for a very long time. I mean, very ardent, preached the Bible. So he's had, I don't know, a congregation of a few dozen for a long time, and that's a very long running. Another guy who I think is a real up-and-comer is named George Dreamer Jr. He's on the tribal council. Young guy, really loves the Lord, early 30s, has a bunch of little kids. Yeah, that's a really good example too. Yeah, Abram is this young guy with this goofy blonde afro that first moved out. He did like a YWAM trip or something out there and just got inspired, moved out there at like 17, 18 years old. He's really involved in addiction counseling. He's training to be an addiction counselor, and he runs a homeless shelter out there. Yeah, the place that we were going to move, Lakota Hope, that got really involved in shutting down the beer stores, he was doing street ministry for years, and then that's converted into like a whole homeless, he's run homeless tents for several years and raised a lot of money for that. Those are some of the ones that come to mind that.
He started AA and NA, and then he has regular people coming in. He's been
Yep. Yeah, it's still running. Yeah, the guy that runs that, his name's John Rubelid. He was one of the lawyers involved in actually getting the beer stores shut down. Yeah, it's still happening. I mean, it's like Pine Ridge size, right? It's not epic by any proportions, but it's a blessing. I think the primary service that they provide is just access to crafting materials, because you have a lot of people that are on very low fixed incomes, and they're just trying to make a little bit of money by selling jewelry. So rather than having to drive to Rapid City, they can go to White Clay, which is actually pretty significant. So that's one of the things they do there. But they've got some really high-end quilting machines and things over there as well. I know Paul and Jean, a handful of people, have gone out and done work for that place too with us. You were there, Linda? Yeah, you were there.
And if you don't know, as she's coming up, Pine Ridge is just it's another world. It's another country, really, another nation within our country. 80% probably unemployment, lots of addictions, lots of need. And so there's a lot of opportunities to try to bring good. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was doing, I'm not doing my jail ministry or Bible study anymore. I was doing that for probably about 5 years, of going up once a week to the Pine Ridge Jail and doing a Bible study with the women there. And last year, I know we updated when we had that woman, Melissa, stay with us. And after she left, that kind of put our family a little bit through the ringer of some stuff. And I specifically had to pull back a little bit. I was still doing the jail for a while and didn't want to step away from that while I was kind of healing. I didn't want it to be like a reactive, like pull back from things. So I really just felt like God was, I was praying about it a lot and still going back and forth with that and trying to decide, like, I would have days that I would go and be like, maybe this isn't what I should be doing anymore. And then we'd have a beautiful day with the women asking questions and really receiving receiving ministry from us. But I really just felt like God was just wanting me to focus in on our family. And then we got pregnant with Aria. And as last summer kind of went through, I decided that it wouldn't work for me to be, I couldn't go up with a newborn to the jail because I was gone for at least 4 or 5 hours at a time in the evenings on the nights that I would go. So I've stopped going there. Janet is the partner that I had that was going with me, and she is now doing Bible studies with the women at the Rushville Jail, which is a town like 20 minutes from us that is kind of our local jail. Which has a lot of Lakota as well, and she's been doing that, and I've been trying to encourage her. I meet with her somewhat regularly still and encourage her on that, and she actually has somebody that she was ministering to there who is a Lakota woman that is maybe going to start going with her as well. It's neat to see that has multiplied and see what God's doing with that. And Janet specifically had wanted to do jail ministry for a while and was able to get in with me, I guess, through that. So it's neat to see. So I am just specifically with the kids homeschooling and with the baby. And which that's kind of where I am. Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm really content being at home. And so that's where I am.
Lots of good ministry that's been poured out through that. So great. All right. Well, maybe a few of us, could we pray? Are there anything else besides what you've mentioned, what you guys would want prayer for?
I think just figuring out where, I feel like we were talking the other night of feeling like we're just in a transition year or two of just trying to figure out what's next with the game store that we had a partner with it and we bought that out. And the kids are just growing and with being at home, I think we've felt like we're kind of just in a transition year and in a waiting and healing and trying to figure out what's kind of next and who's next for us to minister to. So
yeah,
prayer, because
it's been very faithful to minister to a lot of people. So yeah. Well, thanks. Maybe a couple of us want to pray for the Reinholzes and the Boxes and the Lakota, anything that the Lord that they shared would bring to mind, and then I'll wrap us up. And Lord, we thank you that you see every cup of cold water. We thank you that you're not so unjust as to overlook the service and the love. I think of this family. I think of they serve. They love you and they love others. And I just thank you that you don't overlook that. You see that. That's precious in your sight. And I do pray for wisdom and clarity for them in this transition time. Lord, please lead them by your Spirit. Lead them with your counsel. Lead them with your voice. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we get a partner with them and your whole church as ambassadors. Lord, we do just cry out for the Lakota. Lord, would they reach out and see how much you love them. Reach out and to lift their eyes and see you caring, comforting, brokenhearted with them, for them, that they might come to a saving knowledge in Jesus. In your name, amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for sharing. Lots of good stuff there. All right. Well, with the time we have left, I want to just kind of present just some ideas for you as you think about this month ahead. And one is just a reminder from last week. We try to kind of cultivate and ask for if there's anybody that has a part of your faith story. It doesn't have to be like I was wandering around the streets and then on a Christmas Eve, you know, at midnight, I saw a nativity and came to Christ. Like, it doesn't have to be the most epic thing ever. But if there's any story that you attach significant spiritual formation in Christmas to, next week, we'd love to just have, there's already a couple folks that have said that they're interested in doing that, but just wanted to give a little bit more time if there's anybody else that would think of that. And it's a chance for us to just know that maybe there's people that are having spiritually significant things around us. It inspires us. It cheers us when we hear those stories, and it helps remind us that might be happening right now in other people. And so if you would like to share that at all, again, it can, what we're not looking for is, I really love this fruitcake recipe that my aunt, you know, like that, unless that's really spiritually significant to your faith in Jesus, that's a little less, not the sentimental stuff, but more of the, this really has formed me as a follower, as a lover of Jesus and walking with him. And those things certainly exist. And so there's a few folks that are going to do that hopefully next week. And if there's anybody else, we'd love to have you join with them. There's really just three things I'd love to just for you to noodle on and to think about this coming season. Again, this hopefully isn't a burden. But first is you get the opportunity, both within our midst when we gather, when you gather as friends and smaller groups, you get a chance. But don't miss this. This seems like such a, maybe to you, a small thing. You get a chance to express delight to be with others. And we are all, myself included, victims of this crazy pace world that we live in, where it's go, 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 do, do, do. What needs to be done? And there's just something in your face expressing delight in others that starts to trigger joy. It starts to trigger connection. It starts to trigger what God intended for us. And as you have a busy December, maybe with lots of parties or times with family or whatever it might be, you get to be a vessel, a carrier of joy. Like, just to pause and just to go, I'm going to smile at my kids. Just an extra 2 or 3 seconds towards my spouse, towards my friends, and just express this delight. This story, oh, it's a wonderful life, right? It's George Bailey, feeling like a failure. What's the whole point? George, no man is a failure who has friends. And yet, we can miss each other. That idea that Scott was sharing, we feel like we don't fit in. To just pause and say, I take great delight in you. I am just so glad that I get to be with you and to know you and to have that. And this is something I've been thinking a lot about, actually, is there's little known command in Scripture. We tend to gloss over it and laugh at it. I think it's really important. I think it's really important, enough so that these five different books all mention, make sure, church, that you do this. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Now you're thinking, oh, great. Oh, great. Nathan's going to, no. What I'm talking about is there is affection. Greet each other with warm, holy affection. Why? Because we're prone to forget. We're prone to just move past each other. We're prone to just do stuff, which is great to get things done. We need lyrics printed. Great. We got to get that done. But could we do that in a way that's affectionate and inspires joy? What would this contextualized look like? Greet one another with a warm, affectionate man hug, or whatever it is. Greet one another with a warm, affectionate smile. As people come into the room, as you're with each other, you get to start to sow these seeds. This is part of what's really cool with all these brain things that Michael Hendricks has been showing us, is most of how we experience the right side of our, what he would call the right fast track of our brain, this identity attuning to others. It starts with things that aren't even said. It's body language, right? It's not even the verbal. It's that quick, I walk in a room, oh, this room feels welcoming. This room feels warm. This room, people here like to be with each other. These people are laughing with each other and caring for each other and listening to each other, right? And that's what we're building. And so when you greet one another with a warm man hug or hug, again, I'm not telling you how you're going to have to work that out. You can talk with your friends about the kiss part. That's all on you to figure that out. But can we greet one another? What that does is it builds this sense of community and belonging. I belong. We belong. We're here together. You get to do that here. You get to do that with the people you're with. Part of that, for those that you go, well, I don't know if I can greet that person with a warm, affectionate hug. To start this process of shepherding your heart, is there a family member this month that you're going to see and you go, oh, that's really challenging. It's really hard to spend time maybe with them or things have happened in the past. To even just to start your heart, Lord, can you help me to smile on the inside and to pray for them? To pray. Could we at least just pray for those? Matthew 5, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those that cause your suffering, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And so there's an opportunity for you to be a carrier and a vessel of joy towards others. And when that gets stuck and it feels hard, go into prayer. Pray for them. I've learned that it's really hard over the long haul. In a minute, maybe it still stays the same. Hard to stay angry. Start to stay enemy with somebody that you're consistently praying for and saying, God, give me a heart like yours for them. What would that look like? Simple thing. Another thing, just be hospitality. Hospitality. And the season tends to produce lots of different times to be together, meals, drinks together, whatever that might look like. Hospitality speaks volumes. And again, it's that slowing down. It's good to be with each other. Let's just spend some time over some apple cider or over some sugar cream, whatever it is. To be together and to share a meal. You think about all of the stories. This is obviously not all. How many stories in the Bible take place over food? A lot. And as we live, again, I am just as much a victim of this. Get the burger and fries, bam, I'm done. 4 minutes later, my meal's done. To just slow down and say, can we offer hospitality to others? What does hospitality speak? You're welcome in here. Come be with us. We want to hear your story. What's going on in your world? I don't know if this is always, I don't think it has been a gift of mine. This is something that I want to grow in. This is something that I feel that I can continue to seek and to pursue more and to say, how can our home, how could our dinner table be a stewardship of blessing and hospitality and love towards others? So Pat shared this last week, 1 Peter 4. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. The word for hospitality literally in Greek is philos, brotherly love, and xenos, foreigner. Think xenophobia. You know, you're loving the foreigner. You're loving the person that's outside, the outsider. Is there someone that you can think of right now that you go, I wonder if we could just have a simple dinner together with them? Show God's love. Show his concern. Show his comfort towards them. That could be within our body. Don't think that it's anybody in my mind that you can show that love towards. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. How could you seek to show hospitality this season? Might you even just think of it as a goal? We want to show hospitality. We are a people. We are a family whose goal is to seek to show hospitality. That's our group identity as a family. We are a family that does that together. What kind of love would Jesus show this world? Can you imagine if each one of us as a family units, each one of us showed hospitality to one other person? That's huge. That's a huge impact. That'd be, to me, a bigger impact than getting a blimp in the sky that says John 3:16. For you to come and to say, come be with us for 2 or 3 hours, whatever amount of time, and be with us, that we might know you, that we might care for you, to get to know them. Okay, last one, and hopefully this is a gift to you, is just to slow down. Slow down. This is, again, I'm preaching to myself. I'm the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. I need to slow down. I need to focus. Lord, this world says I can have it all. I can do everything. I cannot. You cannot. Slow down. Especially in December, but slow down as you think about what is about to hit, right? Is all this new, what's your resolution? What's your thing? What's going to happen for 2025? What's going to be your goals? I don't know if you're a goal-setting person or not. I tend to be. But a lot of those can just be real vain. David Goggins wants me to wake up at 5 every morning and work out for 2 hours and read 17 books a month. And just slow down. What is it that God's given me to do? What is it that God has given me to do? What would be the focus that he'd have for me? Just this example of Jesus. I think if Jesus were here in Loveland in 2024, he would still be doing this. There'd be a huge report about him. Great crowds would gather to hear him, and he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. I think that's what he would be doing, is saying, amidst all the hubbub, amidst all the ministry, amidst all that's going on, I am going to purposefully withdraw, connect, and God, what is most important today? What do you want me to do? I can't have it all. I won't have it all. Do not believe that idea that the American dream is all that you should be living for or what you should be aspiring towards. What would it look like for you to say, my focus this month or this year, whatever it might be, is just something simple. Connecting with my spouse more, connecting with my kids more, loving my neighbors. How could I do that more than this hyper productivity mode? And just this proverb that as reading through God put on my heart is I think this is one for me this coming year, just to go back and continue to noodle on and to focus on. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. And I don't think it means the ends of the earth like reaching the nations, but it's just that we'll just think about, oh, we could capitalize on all these different things and wow, your investments and do this and we're going to retire early by age 30. All these different things the world would shout. All these ends of the earth infatuations. And just say, Lord, help me to be discerning. I'm just going to set my face towards wisdom. One of my life mottos, acronym KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. It is so easy to overcomplicate things. The real challenge is keeping things simple. Keep it what? Keep it stupid simple. That's also, I don't know how that would work, but how can we simplify and focus and slow down to hear from the Lord, withdraw like Jesus did, and hear from our Father? And so those are just some things. And if you would like to share some of your story next week. Next week's going to be a little crazy, as we know, with the kids. But it will be an opportunity to share some story, have the kids help lead us through some of that stuff together. And just to slow down, can we show hospitality? Can we just show a warm affection? Those things make a difference. Your gifts that you're thinking of giving, I'm sure they'll make a difference. A lot of times, my kids, like yours probably, enjoyed the box more than the thing that was in the box. And the duct tape was better than the thing that you were trying to give them. What is it that we're passing on and giving to each other as a body as families, as individuals together. That's our heart this month to delve into and to dive into. So let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the Reinholzes. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you that you've given each one of us a ministry of hospitality, a ministry of expressing joy and delight in each other, and to just slow down and be with you. I pray that we wouldn't just be living a Martha life, constantly running around, vacuuming for Jesus, doing whatever needs to be done, which are important, but that we would also see the need to be together, to embrace each other, to hear from you. What does it mean for us to set our face towards wisdom? For now, for this coming year, what is it that you'd say, I want you to sow these seeds in hope and faith of a spiritual harvest? I pray that we would be doing that hard work. Thank you for this body. Thank you for the joy that we do have in each other. I just pray that you would grow it all the more. Help us to delight in one another with the same delight that you smile over us in. And just in praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right.